When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. How you doing, Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea?
Good. It's been a busy weekend. You know, the Long Beach Grand Prix was going on, and you know, I know you love statistics. The Long Beach Grand Prix last year hit like record numbers of 183,000 people. This year, 185,000 people.
Coming through the turnstile.
Yeah. Now, it's the week long. That includes the drifting of the weekend before and then the Indy race and like and the trucks that the trophy trucks that run on the street. And Oh, and this year they also had vintage Trans Am because they always do like a vintage thing. I think last year they had Can-Am.
Mm-hmm.
They had vintage Trans Am cars out there. I saw Tommy Drissi run out there.
Yeah.
And I was watching it on the monitor and I thought he scored third. But then when everybody came out on the podium, he wasn't there. Somebody else was. I was like, what happened? I don't know if he just got disqualified or some kind of flag or issue.
Or somebody.
He might have punched somebody. You never know. But it was great to see those cars out there. When they always run sort of this vintage course, it was good.
So. Yeah, I saw him in an episode of one of the TV shows where – car shows, and they had an event, and it wasn't about Tommy, but it was like vintage Indy, and they had the road course at Indy, and they had the vintage Trans Ams out there,
yeah,
or Trans Am race. And as I was watching, you know, the story was, you know, this guy went and drove the car, whatever, but I saw Tommy Dreese sort of in the mix. You know, I'd see him sliding in front of somebody and behind somebody. He drives that car like a maniac.
He does. So. Well, we're gonna have the chance to get into it with him because next week we're gonna have Claudio Burton, the team owner that you drove with for Trans Am.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna come in with Tommy into the studio next week, and they're getting ready to race in the Trans Am series, not the vintage, the real Trans Am series at Fontana. I think the same weekend we're going to be in Atlanta at the MIDI event, but those guys are going to come in and chat it up. So we'll find out. We'll find out next week what happened to Tommy in that vintage race.
Okay. Yeah. It'd be good to talk to him. He's a passionate man, a passionate driver.
But look, Long Beach was fantastic. We got to catch up with a bunch of drivers and Simon Pagenaud and Graham Rahal and whatnot. And I went for a ride in the tandem Indy car.
Oh, yeah. That would be scary for me. Scary because there's a lot of walls.
There is a lot of walls. But also, I'm so short that when you sit behind the driver, it's very difficult to see. Like, you can't really, like, look around him either. So all you could do is, like, look left and right, and all you see is walls. So it is a little intimidating, but it was fun to do.
How fast would they get going down Shoreline?
I don't know. I'm guessing. I mean, it felt fast, but not scary fast. Like, there was so much car control, it felt like it was almost too easy. Mm-hmm. I would say if in the race they're running 190, this was probably 150.
Yeah. Still going 150 miles an hour with
fantastic.
No roof.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole thing is just very rushed. Like, we showed up, they're like, here, put the suit on, here's the helmet, get in the car. He takes off and goes, does a lap, they're like, get out, take a picture, next. And it was like, the whole thing happened and seemed like 2 minutes. Like, it was very fast to do, but it was good, and which is interesting because I have not gone around that track.
Right.
Like, if you think about it, like, why?
Yeah, why?
Why? But there was a funny story that on Shift and Steer that Brad Fanshawe was telling me. Brad used to work a lot with Jesse James. Jesse James worked for Brad Fanshawe as like a young welder and fabricator back at Boyd Connington's garage. Mm-hmm. And those guys were friends. And Jesse at one point said, I'm going to the Long Beach Grand Prix. Like, he sponsored a truck or something. He's like, we're going to go down there for one of the practice days. You should come with me and check it out. So they roll up in one of like Jesse James Ferraris or something. I don't know what, but probably something fairly modern,
a lot of exotic
360
cars.
Or 40, yeah. Something like that. And they pulled up and Jesse just turned and he saw the track was open. He just went out there. He just, those two guys in the Ferrari, he just went out, did a lap. Everybody's freaking out. And like all the security guys are like, what are you doing? You can't go on the lap. He's like, well, it already happened. So
yeah.
it's done now.
I've been on that. I've done something close to that with Jesse James on that track because he was in the first or maybe the second Toyota Grand Prix I did as a celebrity driver.
Oh, yeah.
And he sort of getting into it with the cops even back then. So he's kind of getting into it.
He's always kind of getting it in. Yeah.
Let me ask you a self-serving question about where we're at with – God, I just So I got Tom over at the other shop, and he's like, we're trying to put the old Lamborghini back together, and we're missing a whole bunch of parts. It's a long story. But he's like sitting around with cardboard and sketching out fan blades and cutting out stuff. And I every time I see him, I just hear a cash register just like right. Like I just walk in, he's sitting, cutting, he's making the cardboard template.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm going to make this out
morning.
Of sheet metal. And I'm like, can we just get fan blades somewhere, or can't we just do a 3D print or something? Like, we're making these things like we're in old England, like 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, can't we just 3D print this stuff? Or what if we just made out of plastic and painted black? Like, would anyone know? Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Plastic is easier to 3D print.
Right.
There is a way to do metal, but it's more complicated and expensive.
You could take them a fan blade that's 5 inches around and has 6 blades on, just go, here you go, make it out of PVC, and they do it, right?
Yeah, and we literally would give them that piece, and they would scan it and measure it and do whatever.
Would that be cost prohibitive?
I mean, I don't think, I mean, I'm not sure what the number is. Like, it's not $1,000. That's my guess.
But is it $700? Aren't there more and more places like opening up now that'll do stuff like that? Like on
the
cheap?
We've been working with a group, SD3D, and we might be able to just give them the blade and go, what can you do? Is this something that you guys can make? What would that cost? What's our turnaround on it? And try it. Now, he also, because Tom also showed me like the metal grill that goes on top of like the cowl area of the Lamborghinis. And he's like, can we make one of these in metal? I was like, well, I don't know if we can print it in metal, but we can probably get those guys to scan it and give us the file and then use that file to just like cut it on a CNC machine out of aluminum and give it sort of a
patina.
Vintage look. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So should I tell Tom to stop making the fan blade or just let him make the stupid thing? He said he'd be done in 2 hours. And then I said, all right, you got 2 hours.
All right, well,
said,
we've got this, and then we've got a meeting after that. So if it's not done, then I'll go over there and take a picture of it and email it along with the metal grill and see what we can do. But
yes,
maybe the future of your shop over there is we get a 3D printer.
Ah, I like that idea. All right, so we're heading to Road Atlanta. I had a thought about Road Atlanta last night was, does it rain there? And if it does rain there, how does that work? And then I went on like the 14-day forecast and it was like, oh, there's rain coming up on race weekend. And then I woke up this morning. I checked last night and I woke up this morning and I went on there and it was like, no rain this morning. And then I started thinking about me in Austin. And then I realized, oh, I checked the five-day forecast since it was going to be raining all weekend. So we didn't bring the car there for the race we signed up for. And then I was there doing a stand-up show anyway, and it didn't rain.
Right. We can't predict the weather, apparently.
Right. Well, I wish we...
Despite Doppler 1,000, 5,000, 9,000, 15,000.
Here's the question, though. I got to bring a set of wets, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it until you brought it up.
I know. You should think about it. And also, I get the stupid windshield wipers working.
Oh, just pull over. We'll just have a beer instead.
All right.
If it starts to rain, let's just have a beer
instead. Let me tell you about it. I like the – there's something a little intoxicating about driving in the rain.
Yeah,
I don't know
you
why.
And Senna.
Me and Senna. We love the rain. And we love Omaze. Yeah, giving away their sixth Model 3 Tesla ever made. I was staring at one yesterday. Told you there's one by my house.
Yeah.
I was talking to you on the phone, and I was looking at this Model 3, and I was kind of sizing it up. Plenty of room in the back seat. That's a nice piece. It belongs to Kimball Musk. That's Elon's brother. Proceeds benefit Big Green Learning Gardens and food literacy programs. Omaze offering once-in-a-lifetime experiences and prizes. All you have to do is support a great cause for your chance to win. Donate as little as $10. Check out all the experiences Omaze is offering at omaze.com/carcast. That's omaze.com/carcast. And enter for a chance to win. Use the promo code CARCAST and double your chances. Even if you don't win, it's all for a good cause. And I think it's a write-off, too. Oh, maze, baby. So we are getting the 610 up and running. I don't think we were talking about the chassis twist, but the chassis twisted. So Sean has fabbed up a new cross member in the rear to try to take some of the – it's basically just taking the roll cage, which goes down in the back and contacts –
yeah,
the tub of the car, the monocoque,
like a unibody
car, and he's going underneath it and picking up those two contact points where the two roll bar contact points are behind the front seat and the rear seat, and putting it together with a nicely engineered piece of steel so that the car doesn't twist.
Now, do
anymore.
We connect that crossbar with the front subframes? Do we just do two more bars that come almost make it like a full frame car at that point?
The discussion with Sean is they do have a front sort of subframe, which is not really a frame, but it's kind of a unibodied kind of triangular, right angular kind of crease thing.
Yeah.
And it goes about halfway up the car.
Right.
And Sean said, you want to go the next mile on this, you then take that cross member and you bring it ahead to that and do it that way, which is a good call. I don't know if you talked to him about it or it's just great minds thinking alike, or you did something like that on your Mustang.
Yeah, subframe connectors on the unibody cars are very common. On that Datsun 610, it has an independent rear, so there's no real rear subframe. That's all sort of rubber mounted, the rear subframe. So there's what you'd imagine be the front subframe and then floor pan, and then that's it. So when he welded that crossbar in the rear, now you have a mounting point to go from the front subframe frame to the rear, which would be not so bad.
So you're going basically, you went right to left, now you got to go front to back.
Yes.
And if you think about the way the car's twisting when it's torquing with the rear tires hooking up, it is more front to back than it is right to left. So it's a good call. I should speak to him about that post-haste.
Yes.
And we still don't know when the stupid truck's picking the car up.
We don't know. They confirmed they are picking up the car.
That's awesome.
They're like, yes, we're doing it. I just said, listen, we're doing stuff on the thing. We've got to pack it up. I was like, just don't email me at 8 o'clock at night and go, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I was like, give us 24 hours or something, right? So,
right.
That's
so fast
happen.
And loose with this stuff. It's wild.
Yeah,
they are wild. All right, let's see. Eric, is it Curran?
Yeah.
Is our guest. Don't bring him in just yet. We'll talk about him for a second. 20 years plus racing career. He's got a lot of podiums. He's 2016 IMSA Prototype Champion. He's racing for Cadillac now?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm driving a Cadillac CTS-V.
How come it doesn't say anything about racing for Cadillac on his? Am I making that up?
You're not making it up. That bullet point did not print.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's racing. He's driving the CTS-V now?
No. But Matt is driving the CTS-V now.
Yeah, but he's racing for Cadillac. What's he racing for Cadillac?
Let me find that out.
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know what the body
Cadillac does Cadillac powered.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say GTP stuff that for lack of a better term, but like prototype stuff with a Cadillac engine in it, and then they have the road going cars.
Yeah, the sports cars.
Well, they have the sedan series or whatever. They're up against BMW and Audi and out there racing those cars as well, which is a CTS-V, I guess. I mean,
it could be ATS. I don't know what it is.
Highly modified CTS-V.
Yeah.
I mean, like tube frame. I mean, like Newman drove Z cars that weren't Z cars.
It's just kind of the body that's on it.
DPI VR prototype.
Oh, so he's driving prototypes for Cadillac. So he's driving the big boy prototype with the Cadillac power plant in it. And like those are Le Mans, like Petit Le Mans, all that.
As soon as he comes in, he's gonna be like, everything we just said was wrong.
All right, we should go ahead and get the series and like the car and.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Good.
3 years in the Grand Am with 4 wins and 4 poles, though. He also 15 wins and 6 poles in the Continental Tire Coney Challenge. My thing with these guys, when I talked to him, he joined Wellen Motorsports in 2007. My thing is like that's all well and good, but it's like when I do ACS, I go, when does the movie come out? What's it called? And where can we find it? And then at the bottom, it said, worked with Ed Asner in the 50s. And I'll go, that's good. I'm not telling you don't write that. But I really want the big stuff first, like when and where, and then we can get to the cool stuff where Ed Asner is his goddad. Like that stuff's good. I might get to it, but I need the main stuff up top. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking for.
Do you have to use goddad if you're not Italian, and then if you're Italian, it's godfather?
Mike has a daughter who's turning 16, wants to buy a car. At an auction, she's known to buy a car with a kid. Let's see. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge, and then I'll tell you about. Let me talk to Mike for a second. Mike,
hey guys, how are you?
Your daughter's turning 16.
Yeah, and I actually went to Barrett Jackson last year, mm-hmm. and I couldn't believe some of the cars that were rolling across the line. It got me thinking, I really like to buy her a badass car for her 16th birthday. But I don't even know where to start on these auctions.
Now you sound like my dad, hitting every auction, trying to get me something cool so I can get laid in high school. Let's see. Now, are we talking... Now, there's two kind of Barrett Jackson cars. Bargains.
Yeah, there's this Wednesday car.
There's the 69 Camaro that the guys clearly put $150,000 into worth of work and hours and paint and mods and everything. Yeah. And he's trying to get $35,000 for it. There's like that guy. And then there's this thing was a Bentley GT full package, you know, sold for stickered for $216,000, and it's inching towards $70,000.
Yeah,
but it's probably not going to get there. But it's perfect,
and it's reserve because it's Barrett
Jackson. 11,000 miles on it. Like there's kind of that car. Now both of those maybe not for your. Those are kind of the big bargain cars for me, like the Rolls and the Bentleys that are just they pay $200,000. They're trying to get 65, and they're not going to make it.
Right.
Cars, and then the ones the guys put their entire life into, and they're not going to get $35,000 for. Those are two.
I saw a bunch of those come through.
Which ones?
The first option, the Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't believe what these things were going for.
Well, you know, my thing, hold on a second. My thing with all these things is, whether it's a race car or a full street rod, whatever you're doing, let somebody else do all the media blasting and all the rust the rust damage, cutting out the panels and spot welding the stuff back in, and then all the work, and then all the prep, and all the stitch welding, and all the cross members, everything. And then you get it, and you put your favorite steering wheel on it.
Yeah.
And you right. put in, you put your rims on it.
Yeah.
Like you put your flavor on it, make it yours, sure. maybe change the ride height a little, you know, like kind of breathe on it and dial it in. But you're not dealing with cutting out quarter panels that are covered with rust and having to replace them.
That's not the fun part of the project. It's kind right. of the final touches, right? And you're right. There's these cars at Barrett Jackson. I know a guy that went, like, goes and buys a few. He'll find, like, you know, like a cool, like, roadster shop car, and you're like, this is amazing, and it's $400,000 to make, and he buys it for half,
right.
less than half, and loves it, and drives it.
Castrol Edge, I'll tell you about that, design for consumers who demand the best performance for their cars. Tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful, more efficient. Engines have to work harder today. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're getting a lot out of these little cars. They're putting turbos on them and everything else. But
oh, not just that. I was driving around the Calix CTS-V, and it kept switching between 8-cylinder mode and 4-cylinder mode.
Oh, they're you back know, to
and
that.
It's supercharged. So, you know, at one hand, it's 650 horsepower. On the other hand, I don't know, maybe it's 200.
Well, they're looking for mileage, and that's why you need Castrol Edge. The best. Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. All right, so, Mike, what do you want to get for your daughter? I mean, you're getting it for yourself. You're telling your wife you're getting it for their daughter.
I already have a C7Z06. I don't need another car like that. But
you're gonna get her a Ring Brothers cool. Mustang, just a little starter car.
Well, are you like looking for body. Her? Are you looking for her to get a car to drive to school?
Yeah.
Well, look.
No, a daily driver.
Okay. I think when you're 16, 16-year-olds are so squirrely that I think you have to have safety as in mind. Why don't we bring Eric, our guest, in? So it's 16. It's not really about fun and performance. It's just about safety, because they really have no business operating a motor vehicle. When
right.
I was 16, I had no idea what I was doing with a car. And so I would simply look, I would buy a used car. I would go look online, Consumer Reports or whatever, get the safest, whatever, you know, kind of go back and forth with your daughter. But I would really have that first car safety oriented. As a matter of fact, I would do what Dalton did and rode hard.
Yeah.
I would go down to the junkyard. Remember when he bought the Buick Riviera and he bought all the spare tires?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them with the different lug patterns.
Yeah.
And I would buy a bunch of spare tires and I would string them around the car like a tugboat. That's what I'm going to do with my daughter.
I think at those auctions like Barrett Jackson and Mecum and some of those, I mean, you can get in there. You know, probably not the 69 Camaro, you know, for all of the reasons Adam just said. But I bet you can walk in there and be like, hey, here's a really nice 7 Series BMW, and now it's $5,900.
And if you're looking for that, you can. But once that thing gets out of warranty, a lot of trouble. Eric Curran is here. EricCurran.com is where you go. Good to meet you, Eric.
Good to meet you as well. Thanks for having me.
We were figuring out that you drove for Cadillac, but we're trying to figure out the series, and now we know it's the prototype. Although I used to say GTP, then I said prototype. Now I don't know what to say anymore. What do we say?
Now they call them DPI. Daytona Prototype International, which is like, remember the days of American Le Mans. It would be like an American Le Mans prototype 2 car.
Is the car, I don't know, we're looking at a picture of it. I don't know a ton about it. I know it's powered by Cadillac, but then as far as all the chassis, are all the chassis the same?
Yeah, so DPI is basically a class that's set up for manufacturers, right? So in our case, Cadillac, right? So it uses a Cadillac Dallara chassis. So it's a full carbon tub. Dallara chassis, similar like an IndyCar, like full Dallara tub. And then they take all that body work. Cadillac does all the renderings, draws it up, designs it, makes it look somewhat like a Cadillac. And then they use a LS-based Cadillac V8. So the idea of this is obviously our Cadillac DPI car, but then there's a Mazda DPI, looks like a Mazda, uses a Mazda power plant, all carbon fiber tubs. And then there's, you know, there's Nissan has a car, Acura has a car, you know, so there's a number of different cars that kind of resemble the manufacturer. That's
all those,
the idea.
All those carbon fiber tubs, they're manufactured by those car companies, but they're all within the same spec. You know, because you say it looks like a Cadillac, but really just like the headlights.
Just like just the car I drove over here in. Come on.
It's like, there's not a lot of Cadillac in that. Right?
There's no cup holders in this Cadillac.
That's like the one Elvis used to give away.
It's got the same emblem, same but that's thing. Really about
See,
it.
See, he had wings back then. We've got wings. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
So the...
Because we're looking at a picture, and as you're listening to the podcast, you're like, see, it looks like a Cadillac. The Mazda looks like a Mazda. I'm like,
it's got
what?
A Cadillac sticker on it. Well, so now, obviously, they're always looking for parity.
Right,
in these
right.
things. So if somebody
the most challenging part of it
starts running away, are they using things like intake size restriction of 28 millimeters or something for your intake, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, actually, if you look at that picture, anyone who's seen the picture of the car, it has these two holes over the roof and above where the driver sits.
Yes.
So that's where the restrictors sit.
Right.
So that, you know, determines, they say, okay, well, you got to run whatever size restrictor, and that determines how much power that LS Cadillac-based engine will make.
So, right. So ultimately, you can talk about displacement or compression or you can talk about boost, but if the snorkel opening is only so big, it's just there's only so much power you can make with so much limited with so much oxygen.
In the world of racing now, they call it BOP, balance of performance, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to determine, okay, this Cadillac has a big V8, and we need to run this restrictor to make it go this speed. And then you've got a Mazda that has a 2-liter turbo. Okay, how much boost is that car going to make? You know, we'll give it as much boost as we can. That car wouldn't run a restrictor because they need everything they can get to make that car run the same power that this will.
So Mazda's not running a Wankel. As far as I know,
maybe they'll make three of them.
They're not running a rotary.
Maybe 15 of them.
Or 15 of them. But are they running a cylinder?
Yeah, they run a four-cylinder, 2-liter turbo. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Nissan's got a V6.
I don't feel it's Mazda-y enough for me. And also, the Wankels, the rotaries just made such a crazy, screaming, insane, obnoxious
Yeah, well, imagine sound. 15 of them.
Right. You never could over-rev them. They would just rev forever and ever.
Yeah.
Cool cars.
That is funny that they just never run out.
So what are the events coming up? And it's a good-looking piece. What is what's the next event for you in the series?
So we just came off of Long Beach just over the weekend, Long Beach Grand Prix. We raced on Saturday. We finished up 7th. And then now we go to Mid-Ohio, which is in 2 weeks from now.
What kind of speeds did you reach on Shoreline?
I think 170s, low 170s. It's pretty fast around there,
yeah,
for sure.
Fast, right?
I mean, it's fast and it's slow. You go real fast on the straights and you come into the fountain, which is, you know, first gear or the hairpin, which is probably 50-something miles an hour. So it's quite the mix of real fast straights and real slow corners.
Yeah. The hairpin is...
drive it, Adam? Long Beach?
Unless you're in those trophy trucks, and then you just lean into that hairpin with all that body roll and try not to flip over.
I think we should put the jumps up for our prototypes and see how that goes.
That would be fantastic. The trucks barely made it over those things.
Those jumps seem like the worst ideas ever. It's like when I see these guys... And they're doing their X Games motocross stuff, and they're just set up in a Costco parking lot. I'm like, I don't know. I want dirt. I don't feel like landing on asphalt feels troublesome to me.
I'm telling you, it was still a mess. Like, we watched some of the trucks run on Saturday afternoon, and tires were blowing, and they were missing a jump, and they were half over, and they were flipping trucks. Right. I'm like... It's probably softer on the dirt because they were rolling things around.
It puts on a show, though. Those guys.
That's what it was. It was just a show.
The trucks. I think if you watch a lot.
Robbie Gordon. It's his deal. Yep. Yeah.
Someone was in here said he cracked his vertebrae.
Oh, I think it was Vassar.
Jimmy Vassar.
Yeah, Vassar's like, Gordon's great. He's a good friend of mine. He's kept saying, get in the truck, run it. He goes, got in the truck, did one jump, broke my back or hurt my back. He's like, you're nuts. I'm never doing that
again. The landings are brutal. That's what gets you.
Well, because Robbie told Vassar the way to take the jump is to like accelerate into it or gave him some piece of information.
Yeah.
Probably the same horrible information I got in the Red Bull go-kart challenge. Where the guy's like, you got to hit the berm full flat out, otherwise you won't make it through. It's like, flat out? Flat out.
When in doubt, flat out.
Oh, my God. There was so much blood. Talk about road rash. You had road rash through your suit. Like, you just got torn up on that thing. And that didn't even have an engine.
No,
it didn't. That was the the derby thing. What do you call it? The
Pinewood Derby or something?
No, not no like the Redwood. Red Bull has their own Glashensplusion or something or whatever. They have their stupid name for it. But
yeah.
It's no joke. People get
sounds dangerous.
Yeah. It was dangerous. Yeah. It was dangerous for me. I'm a racer. I'm going all out.
That's the pinnacle, need a motor. By the way. That's the end game is, if, you know. Good luck. I mean, I don't see Schumacher ever doing that.
Not in his current state. No.
Where
is – well, let's talk about Schumacher for a second because, sure. I, you know, obviously the guy's a legend. And then he had a freak accident skiing, and then he's, you know, in this guarded condition medically, and he'll never race again. He may never sit up again. And then the little stories start coming out where, no, he's doing better. And then there was a story of like, oh, he was walking around his chalet or something. And then the paper got sued that published a picture of him.
Right.
And
yeah, his family and team are very protective.
Insanely guarded.
Absolutely.
And no news kind of means bad news, I think, to most people who suffer, you know, a brain trauma. You don't hear anything. That's not a good thing. But it's been years now. The guy's, you know, his Ferrari sold at auction last year for $7.5-8 million or whatever it is. Yeah. What shape is he in? And like, what do people know? And then if there is some positive news, why not share this with the fans?
I think that the fans are just overly protected. I mean, obviously, how many years has it been? I mean, it gets to a point where people stop talking about it. But somewhere, he's in some place, right? And the family's protecting him. And it's unbelievable. Here's a guy that's literally done everything in racing, right? Formula One championships. I mean, won it all. And then, you know, does this in a skiing accident, right? But, you know, the family doesn't say anything. Nobody's talking about it. The media's not allowed to talk about it.
I heard the tidbits that you heard, and you would even think, not just from the fan base, that why is the medical community going, hey, this is quite an achievement if he's having some sort of motor functioning or blinking or talking or waving his hand at all.
I can't think that there's anything but bad news, and I can't imagine a world where he's up and he's using a walker and he's making his way around and he's able to take care of himself or something where that wouldn't be reported by the family as, hey, adoring
big news
international fans, your hero. Yeah. Looks like he may return to some semblance of a normal life, but they're not saying anything. And I don't know, the crash, Max Zapata, must have been 7-8 years ago.
2013, I think.
13.
So it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the latest anything, but I...
It can't be good if they don't say a thing about it, right? I mean, it's...
You say that, yeah. But on the other hand, when you're so insulated, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. Maybe they're just waiting for the big return. Maybe
it's a little...
I mean, I'd love to see some progress and say, you know, what's happening and have them come back and say...
It's a little selfish.
A statement or something, right? You know?
It's a little selfish in that there are people who care. You know, not... There's tabloids out there, but there's also a bunch of fans who care and like to know. By the way, Matt, when you're talking about me racing, I want you to add dirt track.
Dirt track.
Yeah, because no one ever checks.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You just go, oh, Corolla, Long Beach Grand Prix, Laguna Seca dirt track. He's done it all. You just say dirt. No one's going, where?
Yeah.
Where, Ascot? Where was he? What was he driving? Midget? Can you show me some documentation?
Dirt race.
Yeah. Just say dirt track, and everyone go, wow.
What are you most familiar with?
He's
I go to Baja every year. Hey, it wasn't Baja.
It wasn't Baja. Yeah, no, just dirt track. Dirt track. Yeah. Where don't you run?
Road Atlanta next week.
Going to Road Atlanta.
Look at you.
Next week. Yeah, look at me. I may get some dirt track time in at Road Atlanta.
You know what? It's not surprising because the more and more I hear about it.
I get some red play time in at Road Atlanta.
There's nothing near there. So now I'm starting to feel like there's going to be some dirt.
Well, there'd be dirt next to where the track was.
You get far enough off the track, there's plenty of dirt out
there.
That's
true.
I've seen a lot of footage of guys doing some dirt track racing.
To be fair, you have been in the Willow Springs dirt. You've been in the Laguna Seca dirt, like a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not
I've been in
purpose,
the dirt.
But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've been plenty of dirt. That's what you got to say. And dirt, dirt
slick
track.
Tires on dirt is really a good combination as well.
Yeah,
a little bit of rain in there.
How's your motorcycle racing going these days?
You need to say, just do so we can be accurate. You go, he's done everything in a dirt part of the track. But, you know, just
the so dirt say, part of the track.
but not say, a dirt hit track. Dirt track, but part of track. Yeah. And hit the track hard. Hit dirt hard and track hard and part of the.
Adam,
just kind of whisper
been
that
great
part.
Tracks all around the world. He's been been in the dirt. He's been everywhere.
That's good.
On and off the dirt.
Yeah. Well, we're just waiting for our next offshore boat racing event.
So yeah.
That's next, huh?
There's not much left.
You'll be glad to know, Matt, that I know you're a huge Miami Vice fan.
Oh, yes,
and
I
somebody,
saw.
Somebody tweeted me some pictures of my Newman race cars at the like Miami Grand Prix or something. Whatever,
I remember the episode.
Like 1986 or something.
Yeah, I believe it was the episode where Danny Sullivan was a guest star, a racer. Sullivan's a guest star. Yeah. And we talked about it even years ago as well because I was watching Miami Vice as I do. And I was taking pictures of the TV like this guy was. And I was like, there's the car. There's the car.
Yeah, pictures of the old Newman car over there and the Fitzy car. So we believe as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Miami Vice. Wasn't there a white Testarossa or something in the mix of all that?
There was. And the story behind that Testarossa, first of all, the guy like who had it was trying to sell it for like millions of dollars at all these places.
The show car, right?
And
yeah.
then finally it went to Barrett Jackson with no reserve and he got like just Testarossa prices right. for it. He
right.
got like 180 grand.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
But when that show came out, he had the Daytona Spider fake one. And the show was a hit, and as
not
the story goes,
fake Spider in terms of a lot of guys have cut the roof off of Daytona,
right.
and tried to make it a Spider. Just to backtrack here for a second, a legitimate Daytona Spider, where they made about 100 of those things, are four,
yeah.
and they're five or whatever. They just keep going up.
Yeah.
The Daytona. It's just kind of flattened out at $550 to $650, but they haven't really moved in a few years. But the Spiders keep going. They made like 1,200 of those or something. But this is on a Corvette chassis.
Yeah, it's a Corvette chassis.
It's a replica of some replica. Sort, right?
So, yeah. Right.
The story was is that Enzo.
So it's a fake.
It's a fake, yeah.
Convertible.
It's not any more fake.
Right.
And that's what pissed off Enzo Ferrari. He's like, the show's a success. I don't want that piece of crap representing our brand
right.
on the show.
Yeah.
And he said, so I'll send you one Lamborghini test or one Ferrari Testarossa.
Because he's probably watching that thing like during a chase scene and it's leaning hard and he sees like a transverse leaf spring in the rear sticking out of the back of his Daytona, of his Ferrari.
His Ferrari
he's like, what is this?
So he the never conditions, did that. They send him black one. And when they got it, they're like, we shoot all these great scenes at night. You can't see this. So before Sonny Crockett gets his white Ferrari, the bad guy in the previous episode drives a black Testarossa.
Uh-huh.
And that's his car. And the condition, what was Enzo was, is you have to blow up the Daytona Spider on a show.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out, Crockett comes out. Somebody blows up his car, and then I guess at the end of the episode, he gets the white one. But the white one was previously the black one in a previous episode.
Uh-huh.
And to your point, which is funny, because now they have this great hero car, but every time he goes around a turn and it's crazy and it's fast, they cut to a white Testarossa with, like, no rear bumper. It has, like, polished billet wheels on it when you see it quick.
Mm-hmm.
It has polished billet wheels. It has, like, you know, almost like a lift kit on it. It's not even close. Like, they're like, the wheels aren't even close. There's no rear bumper. There's just like a tailpipe coming out the back. It's so not a Ferrari Testarossa. Then cut to hero shots, and they've got the one Testarossa, which they painted white because it was originally black.
Got to go back and watch that show.
Yeah, it's always
never get a refresher.
Or not.
You have to watch it. I'll tell you every episode.
Eric, what about you and Lamar?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So these DPI cars that we were talking about, they don't fit any classification at Le Mans, which is disappointing because, hey, American race car driver, I want to go to Le Mans. So we haven't been. You know, we haven't had any car here in the U.S. that'll fit the template for what races at Le Mans. You've got the P1 cars, all the hybrid cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a P2 car, which is essentially what our cars are in the U.S. based on a P2 chassis. They're a spec car in Europe. So it's a spec bodywork, spec engine, Nissan-based, there you go, Nissan-based, you know, 4-liter V8. But, so at Le Mans, you just get a spec car. So we can't, at this time, take our DPI Cadillac and run it over at Le Mans. And I sure hope that there's a future there to do so. But
Daytona?
Sure. Daytona Rolex 24-hour, yep. We finished second there this year.
That's turning into a pretty awesome event. And It's getting a lot more TV coverage than it used to as well. I find that, or maybe it's just me getting old.
It's a big show, it's a good event.
Like they're, you know, I think they're figuring out ways to, in the past, you know, there'd be like a 24-hour race and they just go, well, just put the camera up and all this drinks, put on a pot of coffee. Like, and now they're kind of figuring out ways to like go in the car, go out of the car, bring the exciting stuff. Same with Le Mans. Like they're figuring out, like television is kind of wrapping their head around, how do we take this super drawn out event and turn it into a prize fight? How do we get some action going in here? Like how do we have different events and stuff like
that? The TV coverage has gotten really good. You know, look at what happened this year. I mean, you got the Montoyas and Penske's over there, Castroneves, and all these drivers are coming over from IndyCar running with us and IMSA full season, right? So there's a lot of attention, especially this year. But Daytona's a big deal now. You know, you've got all this TV coverage, and now the announcers are starting to figure out, hey, look at, you know, there's a lot we can work with here. There's multiple classes. There's different things to follow. But, I mean, the attendance and the exposure this year was bigger than I've seen since I've been running the race.
I'm going to tease a question while Matt gets his casserole read together.
Well, you read
Is the stints in the car limited by fuel or based on fuel, or are they based on anything other than we need more fuel, so now's the time to swap guys? Don't answer. Matt, go.
Nope. Yeah. Brush Hero. You guys have seen this on Shark Tank. We've talked about it here before. Brush Hero is a water power cleaning machine. This thing is great. It's got an impressive amount of torque. It's not really meant to spin fast, but rather it scrubs with a powerful, continuous, effective torque, and it won't cause damage. It really works. The starter set comes with two brush heads, a soft one for sensitive surfaces, such as paint and chrome, and a tough one for serious muck.
Yeah, you know what, Bo? I will say, if you're rocking the center lines, like the Testarossa from Miami Vice, you don't need the Brush Hero. If you have center lines. Anyone else listening needs, because that's just one big poo-poo platter of aluminum. Now, that you can do with the sock.
You know, I was
also thinking...
But if you got
spokes and... things like that. You need that brush hero.
The polished exhaust tips, those are always mucky, and you're always trying to get a rag in there. Mm-hmm. Just use the Brush Hero for that. By the way, you can use this on your boats, your barbecue, you know, yard tools, bicycle after going there mountain biking. Use this thing on it.
You hook it up to the hose, right?
You just hook it up with the hose. It's all powered by water. Watch any of the videos. They're actually fun to watch.
Doesn't have like a brush or anything?
Yeah, it's a spinning brush. Yeah, it almost looks like a Dremel tool, but though it's water powered and it spins a brush.
It's smart.
There's different heads that can go on it. There's different extensions, so you can get a longer one or a shorter one. So you can go to brushhero.com. You can get it at Amazon or select Costco stores as well, but find Brush Hero at brushhero.com.
So, Eric, obviously, they limit you on fuel. They go, you can have this many liters worth of fuel. That's good for X amount of time in the car. Do you drive accordingly, like at a place like Daytona? Are you always just flat out, or is there a strategy that involves fuel consumption?
You know, usually the fuel consumption part of it doesn't come till later in the race. So you're pretty much just flat out all the time. I mean, the car goes, you know, 40, 45 minutes on fuel, something like that. So that's your determining factor on when the car's coming to the pits.
Right.
You know, so...
Is that a radio thing or a gauge thing?
You got engineers sitting behind the pit wall that are determining, okay, well, you know, the car goes so many number of laps before it's going to need fuel. But you've got to, you know, nowadays you have these crazy Formula One looking steering wheels, right?
Sure.
So it actually gives you a readout so you know how many gallons you've got. It's counting down and telling you, you know, and then you go to reserve and, you know, you typically come in that lap. So it goes 40, 45
minutes. What's in the reserve?
How much fuel?
Sure.
I don't know. They don't tell us any of that stuff.
You need to ask.
It goes a lap or something.
I was just going
to
say.
You got one more lap to go.
Yeah. It's probably like the lap to get you in, like just enough to get you in the lap. When he runs, it's not in pit mode, though, the gauges. He runs in full race mode.
We shut the pit limiter off.
Full race mode. Because he's talking about how the gauges have so much detail to it.
I ran.
There's no analog gauges anymore. Sorry.
I ran a modern Trans Am car with the big display. Yeah.
Cool.
But the display has a pit mode and it has a race mode.
Uh-oh.
And they sent me out for qualifying with it in pit mode. And then when I came in, I was like, I couldn't really tell what gear I was in or where the RPMs were or what the temp was. And the guy looked at me and he reached to the back of the cluster thing and he toggled like through it and he goes, "You had it in pit mode." And I said, "I didn't
have
it.
Issue.
I didn't have it in any mode. I'm not reaching around, toggling. I'm not pressing a bunch of buttons back there. Somebody put it in pit mode, and then put me out in
so
the
overrides the whole screen, right?
Yeah, they put me out. Well, pit mode will tell you some stuff, but it's
this big. It's the size of a thumbnail,
and
right,
it's not
right.
stuff you want to know.
You need all that information about when to shift or what gear you're in.
It's just distracting.
It's not stuff you need to know when you're racing. Hence the pit mode and then right. the
tell
race
me that,
mode.
Tell me it wasn't in pit limiter mode. That would have been bad.
No. I did that on my own. That was called my right foot.
38 miles an hour.
Your right foot.
It won't go any faster.
Listen, they just say, look ahead. So.
Oh, yeah. We have a picture of the thing in I think, non-pit mode, which was actually nice. It was had a digital, but it's sort of analog looking tack. It had a speedo that I didn't bother with.
Yeah. I love the use of the label maker, by the way. Somebody did a good job crazy. Over there on those switches on the right.
Yeah. My biggest problem, if you look at this picture.
Except for the one switch you wanted to use, probably.
Hopefully this was a right hand turn here.
Well, we think.
Not a left
we
or the
think.
Big direction.
We're looking
this
at
was on dirt, right?
We're looking at a picture of turn 8 at Willow just going through that bad boy to 151 miles an hour in that crazy, crazy car and just praying it would stick, which it did. The thing that's funny, if you look to the right of the picture, and you can go to carcastshow.com and take a look at this, there's a clear tube that's hooked up on a nipple to the sway bar adjuster, which I never touch. But I just kept looking at it going, they got a hydraulic sway bar adjuster. And I for 3 days, I was like, what kind of hydraulic sway bar adjuster? And at a certain point, I went, how's this hydraulic? And he went, oh, no, that's a water hose for you to drink from. And I'm like, it is? And he's like, yeah, we just keep it there. I was like, oh, all right. Well, someone should have told me.
Did you try it?
Well, during yellow flags, it was like a 100-mile race. Right. And it was during yellow flags, I pulled it out. Shoved it through my helmet and I found the water button on the wheel and I was pressing it. But the problem with the thing is once you let off the button, it keeps going. Like it doesn't, it just keeps going.
So you just shoot water
in your
face.
Throwing it on the floor and it just kind of bleeds out.
Cleaning.
It just bleeds out on the floor. Like you stop pushing go on the water pump and that water keeps a flowing for a
while.
Usually
it gets to be about 150 degrees. That water tube is sitting in the car just boiling. So you burn your mouth.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a really good system.
You know, I was going to say black is no bueno. Clear tube, there's the greenhouse effect. They got to go white tubing for that thing, right?
Yeah, so maybe you're supposed to see the water coming at you.
Supposed to catch it as it's coming.
I'm sure
in.
Like when you pull into the pits, everyone's like, it's 100 degrees out here. How is your car all wet? It's like, what's going on in here?
How's the hydraulic sway bar work?
I don't know. There's no fluid in the line either, so that's weird. So it takes a second.
You gotta bleed it, man, if you want that sway bar to work. Like, I was gonna touch the sway bar and that way. No interest in adjusting.
Just to see if the line would fill up. Just
sway
to see
bars with light hoses, at least. Leave those alone.
Yeah. It was funny. I was looking at it, and they just put like a nipple on the same on the unit just to give it a place to land. Really?
Right. Well,
we have this little thing now, Adam, where it's plumbed into our helmet, so we have the whole hose in our helmet, and then we get in the car, we grab it, and we just snap it onto our helmet, and then it's got a button on the wheel.
Yeah,
similar system, maybe a little more advanced. You know,
it's got
a little thing. You know? It doesn't
be
quite squirt all over the
pulling
place.
A tube off another
it's a potential
piece.
Drowning right there. Like if you can't remove the tube for your mouth at this point, you could potentially drown.
He'd drown in his
you
own
could just
helmet.
Just drown in your own helmet. What happened? I don't know. His lungs are filled with water though. That's weird.
But the minor issue is when you jump out of the car and a driver change and you don't disconnect it and it's still connected to your helmet.
Yeah.
That's a little tricky.
Oh, it's like
the
YouTube
showbiz.
Video.
The showbiz equivalent to that is when the guy's got the lav mic hooked up and he storms off the stage and he's like, I've had enough of these questions about my ex-wife. And you see him get shirt getting like pulled back because they never unclip the thing before they storm off the stage.
Same idea.
Same thing. It's a showbiz version.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico. I feel like you might need this on the track now.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off your client, dry cleaning. You're picking up some milk. And now you can save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't need to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com.
All right, Eric, and I'll spell the last name, C-U-R-R-A-N.com is where you can go. You can shoot him a tweet at Eric Curran 31 and find out events coming up. You say Road America. Wait, what's coming up this?
Mid-Ohio. You're going to Road.
I'm going to Road Atlanta. You're going to Mid-Ohio.
We could switch it up. Why don't I go to Road Atlanta and you can go to Mid-Ohio?
Is it going to rain in Mid-Ohio? Because
I have exactly as much time on each track, so it's going to be a push for me. I'll look at it on the simulator. I'll figure it out.
Plenty of time. It's a long plane ride.
We got a long plane ride. We'll figure that track
out.
I'll
be there next week at the Road Atlanta working with some people. It's a fun place.
That's the MIDI. We're going.
It's a big deal.
I'll be there.
Oh, you'll be there?
For sure.
Oh, well, come have a beer over
I'll
at
come
our
over there
our
and I'll see if I can get your pit limiter off on your screen and, you know.
Yeah, get it.
Dotson 610. I don't even know if the tack works in that thing.
I hear it's jumpy, but I can hear that engine.
It's ballpark tack. It's not really like an accurate tack.
Give or take a couple thousand RPM.
When it stops pulling, you shift.
That's right.
That's how it works.
Like a two-stroke.
Yeah. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com, find out live shows, because I'll be live coming up. Santa Ana Esports Arena doing a live podcast. That'll be tomorrow night. So you can come out and say hi. You can also watch it with the 360 VR and go to podcast1.com/CarollaVR and check that out. And then we're going to Cleveland, Detroit, Portland, doing live shows everywhere. Just go to adamcarolla.com. And go to Chassis and see our movies and see what we got coming out for you. And if you want to support the show, go to carcastshow.com. And, we're looking at Miami Vice footage.
Yeah.
As they drove
past.
Look
at the next scene.
Is Newman in there?
Wait a minute.
That was Willie T. Ribbs.
Wait, that was Willie T.
Oh, Willie T. Oh, we just watched Willie T. Was Willie T driving that? They're interviewing Willie T.
I've said it once. Yeah. I've said it again. Best show on TV. Next to Billions.
Love Billions.
Well, yeah. The great thing is the Billions guys have seen Willie T and are thinking about doing a series out of that doc. So
I do want to point out that we screened Willie T this weekend. I saw it for the first time. It is fantastic. It's such an incredible story about a guy you don't know. And it's such a great job on the movie. You guys did a great job.
Willie T is a cool guy. I remember watching him at Lime Rock Trans Am days. I grew up in Massachusetts, right? So Lime Rock was right down the road. Used to watch all those guys, Willie T, the Trans Am days.
Yeah, Paul Newman driving over there.
I raced against him.
Somebody just tweeted us a picture of him with Dale Earnhardt Jr. wearing his uppity hat.
Oh, Willie T. Willie's out.
Yes, he's out.
That's the name of the doc. We'll keep you guys all posted until next time. Adam Carolla for Eric Curran and Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.